We have spent quite a long time talking about the diaconate, and we've spent that time specifically because we are in need, and we've decided to linger here for this purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ has instituted the diaconate as an integral part of the ministry of the church. And we are here in the life of the Los Angeles Reformed Presbyterian Church, where we are in need. And questions arise. Are you being called to serve? Are you being called to serve the church as a deacon? We've spent a lot of time reflecting on what it means to be a deacon, and we've looked at the scriptures, and we have shown that the work of the idea of a diaconate, or the work that's done through the diaconate, is rooted in this idea that our physical lives matter to God, and that holistic ministry, a ministry that includes something more than just speaking to the souls of men and women, is something that is important to God. That God cares about the suffering in the church, and God cares about the poor in the church, and God cares about the lonely in the church, and God cares about those who are in the greatest need in the church. And in the wisdom of God, He has given us more than just elders or more than just a preacher to help and to minister to the church. He's given us deacons to come alongside of the elders and to serve in a holistic ministry. Holistic ministry is really all the rage in a lot of seminaries across our country as people talk about what it means to minister to the whole man. What does it mean to minister to the body and to the soul? You know, Princeton just this year put in a working farm as part of their seminary experience. Now, I'm not proposing a farm. Okay, don't ever expect me to. But the idea that Priscilla might propose a farm, but the idea is that ministering to people requires more than just speaking to them about their souls. And even though it's all the rage and seminaries are doing things that may or may not be the route that you need to take in seminary training, the fact is that in God's wisdom, He has already given us ministry to the soul and ministry to the body, coming together to serve the whole man or the whole woman in the name of Jesus Christ. We have the office of deacon working side by side with the office of elder for the purpose of conforming the church, conforming the members of the church into that perfect image of Jesus Christ, so that the church may be presented pure and spotless before Him. And as we've talked about the diaconate, we've talked about a number of qualifiers, things that we understand about the diaconate. And we've looked at qualifications from the scriptures. And we've even walked back, remember, into the Old Testament. We've said, here the diaconate is not something that the apostles just invented. It's this whole idea is rooted in the Old Testament scriptures. And we've shown mercy at the center of that work. Mercy for the purpose of showing forth Jesus Christ. And mercy for the sake of of the kingdom. But there's been a number of things that we've stressed as we've worked through this series, and there's things that I have hit on time and time again, things that I want you to hear and things that I want to be triggers for you as concepts. I've stressed the fact that we are all deacons here. Jokingly, somebody said at lunch, are you candidating for the office of deacon, as I was pouring coffee and trying to peddle off the last of the sandwiches so that we didn't have to take them home. And yes, I'm already a deacon. I'm a small d deacon. And it's my joy to serve the church. It's my joy to serve the kingdom. We've talked about the big D deacon and the little d deacon. Can you explain that concept? Are you able to explain what we mean when we say that, and how that's rooted in the scriptures, that the word deacon is an office, but the word deacon also means servant? You are all deacons. And we've said that the diaconate is no small office. It's an office of service, but it's an office that is to be elevated as well. As we look at the diaconate, and sometimes we just say, here's the pile of work, do this. When we fail to realize that the deacons are called alongside of the session for kingdom work, and alongside of the session in developing that vision for how the church is to work unto the glory of God. These principles have been shown so that we would see the diaconate as something of great value in the life of the church. And as we've lifted up the diaconate, we've divided the work of the diaconate, and we've said, here's some basic work that they do, and we all can be called under that work. We've talked about mercy as the primary responsibility of the diaconate. And we've said that because of the tyranny of the urgent, sometimes mercy gets put off, even though it's primary in the New Testament to the office. And we've talked about outreach, and we've looked at Acts 6 and shown how the early deacons of the church were actually doing the work of evangelism as well as the kingdom is promoted. And we've talked about hospitality, and we've talked about finance and the finance along with the property of the church. And as we look at these things, we are prone to say, but these are temporary things in the life of the church. These are temporary sufferings to the Christian. But friends, you need to see that these things are important to the ministry of the church. And these are things that have eternal value because they are things that are important to the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering is important to Jesus Christ. The suffering of His people, the care for His people, justice for His people. All of these things to show the value of the diaconate. We looked at the story of the Good Samaritan, and we've shown that even as the story is demonstrated, what it looks like for someone to show love to their neighbor, the so-called characters in the story are Old Testament office bearers. And the office bearers are the ones that walk right past the one who is suffering. Why would Jesus use this? It's because it's important to Him. The work of the diaconate is important to Jesus. It's important to the life of the kingdom. Service is important in the life of the church. The diaconate has been given so that the church could do the work of ministry, and so that we could have an office of discernment, and an office of justice, and an office of organization, and an office of mercy. And deacons are given to the church as a gift from Jesus Christ, so that the work of the church can be holistic. Now you might be thinking to yourself, Pastor Nathan, remember the text that we read? What does that have to do with the diaconate? That's an important question. Jesus is approached by the wife of Zebedee, and she has a question for Jesus. And her question is, can my sons, when they come into your kingdom, can they sit on your right hand and on your left hand? And that sounds presumptuous, doesn't it? We hear that and we think, who would dare to ask such a question? And the mother does come to Jesus, and she does come and she asks boldly, when you come into your kingdom, can you make my sons high-ranking cabinet officials? Now, if we put it in that political context, we see the mother's heart, don't we? Let's say your mother knows a candidate that most likely will be elected president in 16 months. That's how long we still have to go through this circus. 16 months. And if your mother knows the one who is going to be president, or is very sure that this person will be the president, it is not beyond mothers to say, remember my children. And if there is a position of authority, a cabinet type position, can you remember my son or my daughter, and put them in that position? You see, the mother of the sons of Zebedee are thinking of Jesus in this political kingdom way, and she's asking for these cabinet positions. Jesus knew what the question required of her, or required of her sons, to be on the right hand and on the left hand of Jesus as he comes into the kingdom. It's basically saying, Jesus, can my sons be the ones that are crucified on either side of you? Can they suffer and die as you come into your kingdom? And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. They can't drink my cup. Can you drink my cup? And they say, yeah, we can drink your cup. We can handle this, Jesus. And then what Jesus does is he says that those positions, the one who would be on the right and the one who would be on the left, are not his to give, but they belong to the Father who's in heaven. And then he gives a rebuke and a principle. And in that principle, we find the center principle for what it means to be great in the kingdom of God, as well as what it means to be a servant. And the word there is deacon. What it means to deacon in the life of the church. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, and it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your deacon. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So as we're thinking about this office of deacon, and as we're prayerfully considering who the Lord would raise up to serve in this office, and as we're looking around, and as we're having conversations, and as we're seeking to know who will be our next deacons, this is the principle. The principle is not that our deacons are the ones that take out the trash. Our deacons are the ones that paint over graffiti. Our deacons are the ones that get stuck with doing the work that none of us want to do. The principle of the kingdom is that the greatest among us are our deacons. The greatest among us are the ones that are called to serve unto the glory of God. And they're called to serve and to elevate Jesus Christ and to show Jesus Christ through their service. Whoever would be great must be a servant. Whoever would be first must be a slave, and that's another word for servant. Even as Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is one of the most important principles in the building of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not built by greatness. It is not built by power. It is not built by might. It is not built by our glory. But the kingdom of God is built as brothers and sisters get on their knees and wash the feet of those that Jesus Christ loves, serving even to the most humiliating of tasks. Not for glory, but for the sake of Jesus, so that Jesus Christ would be lifted up. The principle that is put forward here is called the theology of the cross. And some of you may have heard that term, or recognize that term, even as the bulletin uses the term. There's theology of glory, and there's theology of the cross. And these are two very different ways of viewing the kingdom of God. The theology of glory says that the way of the kingdom is the way of greatness. And it is the way of, here's an important term, magisterial service. Magisterial, reigning over the people. It's the idea that if we put these people in office and we give them beautiful garments to wear, and as we have them drive the people of God into service, and they will reign over God's people in glory. That's not the way of the church. That's not the way of greatness in the kingdom of God. It is not seeking glory in ourselves or even the glory in the church, But this principle is that the way to glory and the way that the kingdom of God is built in our midst is not through being elevated and having this magisterial reign over the people of God, but it is having a ministerial servant's heart, ministerial, meaning to serve, a ministerial heart unto the people of God, where we look to Jesus Christ and say, as Jesus has done, so shall we do. And it's the way of suffering. It's the way of the cross. That's how kingdom work is done. Not only in the diaconate, in all the offices, in all the areas of the life of the church. The theology of the cross is lifted up through the work of the diaconate in a beautiful way. In many ways, Jesus is seen better in the life of a deacon than he is seen in the life of the other offices. Jesus is lifted up as service is done unto his glory. Gene Edward Veith is a social commentator, a Reformed Christian, writes a lot of solid evangelical books interacting with both history and theology. He says, a theology of glory expects total success, finding all the answers, winning all the battles, and living happily ever after. The theology of glory is all about my strength, my power, my works. The theology of glory expects the church to be perfect always and always to grow. And if the church with the theology of glory experiences failure and weakness, or if the church has problems, then we're often utterly confused or questioning the sufficiency of our faith, and sometimes questioning the sufficiency of God. When God chose to save us, He did not follow the way of glory. He did not come as this great hero king, defeating His enemies and establishing a mighty kingdom on earth. Rather, He came as a baby laid in an animal trough, in a man of sorrows, with no place to lay His head. And He saved us through weakness and the shame of the cross. And those who follow Him will have their crosses of their own, because He says, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. So we see that this is the way that we are redeemed through the death of Jesus Christ. And it's a death of service. It's a death of deaconing to the people of God, deaconing that we may be saved. And the way of the cross is the way of the diaconate. There are times of suffering. There are times of emotional investment in the lives of people who will reject your emotional investment. There's investment of outreach and the wisdom it takes to use the church's finances unto the glory of God. And there's laboring to do the work that often gets unnoticed. But it's the way of the cross. And it's the way of our King. And it's the principle that He has given even for greatness in the kingdom. That greatness comes as we are brought low. Greatness comes as we serve. Greatness comes as we deacon. Service is a kingdom principle, and this principle is not just intended to help us pay our bills or help us keep fresh paint on the building, but deaconing is a principle of Scripture that shows us the way of the kingdom. He who wants to be great will serve. And he who wants to serve will be great. It's the theology of the cross. And it's a theology of humility. So we are looking for deacons in our church. And we don't have a chair, one for the right and one for the left. There's no political power that comes with it. We're looking for deacons to come alongside our current diaconate and come alongside the session so that together we can point men and women and boys and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the one who humbled himself enough to die on a cross, the one who humbled himself enough to deacon among us, the one who gave his life, the one who Peter calls the chief pastor, is the one I'm happy to call the chief deacon of the church. Is the Lord calling you to serve? Are you being called and set apart by God to deacon among the LA RPC? If you believe you are, tell the session. Let us prayerfully consider. And if you believe someone else is, again, tell the session, that we may prayerfully consider and search your hearts. Are you willing to be the least among us? Are you willing to serve unto the glory of Christ? Who is willing to be the least among us? Amen.